Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah, welcome to Birdland. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Birdland.
Now here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearingly centering host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt, happy new year.
And a happy new year to you too. Well, no, actually, have we passed the happy new year time?
This is the first podcast of the year, so I think it's still Happy New Year.
Okay.
For our listeners, we have not talked to them in 2023.
Okay. There's a big...
The year of the Orioles World Series championship.
That's right. This is the year that Orioles won the... you got your shirt on. I should have worn my shirt.
Yeah, it just happened. Yeah.
Yeah. 2023 World Series champions. Yeah, when Michael Elias got here, that's when we started saying, right? Like, 2023 is the year.
Right.
And it's all worked out perfectly.
Yeah, a little, not the offseason I was planning. You know, when we talked 5 years ago and settled on 2023, I didn't say, as soon as we get James McCann and some guy named O'Hearn, we're all good.
Yeah, but according to Rock Kubako, Mike Elias got his guy in O'Hearn, which we'll get to.
I will get to that.
This is Mike Elias' guy.
I was more intrigued by James McCann's first interview with the media.
Yeah.
Did you see his quotes?
I got a couple quotes, yeah.
All right, we'll get to that as well on today's show. I feel like we do this. We get so excited because you and I don't really talk during the week. Maybe a few text messages. I feel like we get so excited, we sometimes just jump straight into talking about some Orioles news without setting the show up, without anything. We just jump straight into it. And it's not like it's so much news this week that we have to cram it all in at the top.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, this is, in terms of baseball, this is the dullest part of the entire year. There literally is not a quieter, duller part of the baseball season than kind of Christmas through kind of January. This is it. And then
Christmas
February, we're starting to get excited for pitchers and catchers reporting. But yeah, right now, there's nothing.
Right. Because if you waited this long as a free agent to sign, then you're like, you might as well wait another month.
Yeah.
And let the demand on.
And listen, this past week, Nathan Eovaldi signed with the Rangers. That was the last guy on my radar as the guy that I was interested in having.
Yep.
Again, he signed for $34 million. That sounds like a deal. The Orioles could have afforded 2 years, $34 million, but they chose not to do it, which is their prerogative, obviously. But that was the one last guy. So now, like, there's not a single free agent out there that holds any interest for me.
Even Wade Miley signed a nice contract today.
Right.
Like, every
pitcher out there signed. Rich Hill signed.
Hill got signed this past week. You're right. Yeah. So it's
I guess Walker's still out there. But again,
right, but it's coming very clear what the 2023 Orioles are going to look like.
Yes.
And it's definitely going to be prospect-based, we hope.
Our success, we were hoping that maybe our success would depend on a veteran top rotation starter, a veteran middle of the hitter order. But no, our success or failure next year will be pretty much entirely dependent on Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and Grayson Rodriguez and all these rookies.
Yep.
So
yeah, and other rookies that are coming up.
Yep, we will go as far as our prospects take us.
The nice thing
which
is,
could be fine, which could be great.
Which could be fun, and like, hey, if the prospects get us into the playoffs in 2023, that bodes really well for 24, 25, 26, and 27.
Are you going to say that the next free agency is going to be the year where we go big?
No. I'm thinking that this was it, and we don't go big.
This is how it is every offseason now.
This is how it is every offseason.
Trying to find small, the question tiny upgrades.
Is,
yeah.
The question is, in these next 3-4 weeks, do we follow the model of the Braves and some other teams and sign Adley Rutschman long term before pitchers and catchers report? That's what I'm looking for now.
Yeah.
Because I realize we're not signing anyone.
And hey, listen, if you get Adley Rutschman to a long term extension, you can convince me that this is an okay offseason. You can convince me of that because you've achieved one of your main goals is extending Adley Rutschman. But we'll see. I haven't heard any chatter, but with Mike Elias, you don't hear chatter. So I don't think we would even know, have any hints before it happens, if it does happen. But I'm not holding my breath. But that would be refreshing, a great way to kind of end the offseason and head into spring training would be an Adley Rutschman extension. Or a Gunnar Henderson extension, for that matter.
Or both.
Yeah.
I mean,
why not?
Who cares? If we're not, we got money. You're making money. You might as well find some way to spend it.
Yeah, and you would imagine financially it makes sense to do it because you can dump more money into the team now, and it'll save you money down the road if you spend more money now. That's how it works, right? You buy out their arbitration years and their pre-arb years. You buy all those out, so you spend more money now, but long term you save money. And by the way, the thing about having all these great prospects is in 5 years, all of them go and get paid. And so if you can, spread out the money a little bit more now, then when it comes time for Grayson Rodriguez or Colton Cowser or whoever the next guy is to get paid, you have a little bit more money there as opposed to kind of all young prospects, their big arb years and their free agency years happening within 1 or 2 years of one another. That's going to make for some tough decisions. And we could be seeing, this is way down the road. I'm not worried about it.
Right.
But one of the reasons the Red Sox just signed Devers to this huge 11-year deal is because they had seen their top prospect guys like Mookie Betts walk, Xander Bogaerts walk. If you want to go before that, John Lester walk. So it becomes tough to keep your own guys if you don't keep them early.
Yeah, I totally agree. But we'll see. I mean, and that's where we talked last week, like we talk every few weeks about the lawsuits and stuff. And you don't know how much that really affects the Orioles with long-term contracts and everything.
Yeah, even the future of ownership. The future of ownership, sure.
Right. That all questions everything. And we're seeing other teams prepare to sell and stuff. So it's crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate last year with the whole Juan Soto deal, which we talked about before. But what do you do with Juan Soto? And it's possible that Nats could have extended them if they would have had secure ownership, but they didn't want to extend him, then be on the hook for this when they're trying to sell the team. So they just traded him because it was simpler to do.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Orioles aren't in that situation.
Right.
All right. But before, hey, and I want to get to, we're going to talk about Ryan Hare and we'll talk about James McCann quotes, but before, can we do a little, we don't do it enough because we are just so Orioles focused sometimes. But can we get into the Ravens? Because now, I mean, this is football season. We got playoffs around the corner. We got the Ravens are in the playoffs, despite what you might read on Twitter. They've made the playoffs. And so now it's a really kind of interesting time for football, but also specifically for the Baltimore Ravens, especially the kind of situation the Baltimore Ravens are in right now.
But the thing that's really interesting with the Ravens is the Lamar Jackson situation. The fact that Lamar, after getting hurt a bunch last year, and the Ravens offering him a ton of money, he then got hurt again this year. And so he's missed like half a season last year, half a season this year. And here we are going into week 18. I know we don't.
Oh, and on top of that, it sounds like it's Lamar Jackson calling the shots and Lamar Jackson saying he doesn't want to play. That's what it sounds
like. And Lamar Jackson, deciding on whether he's healthy or not enough to play.
Right.
Now, some people think that's crap, but it sure sounds like it's Lamar Jackson. And you've got Lamar Jackson on Twitter going back to old posts from other people that say, we talking about practice.
Yeah.
And he's liking that. Well, but we talking about practice turns into we're talking about you not playing in the game.
Yeah, a chance.
Winning last weekend was a game they could have won if Lamar Jackson was behind the center. But if Lamar Jackson was, they could have won that, which gave them a chance to win the division.
Sure.
Now it looks like they probably don't have a chance for the division.
Yeah, well, that's up in the air.
Because the Bengals' schedule is kind of up in the air. Yeah. If they don't replay that Bills game, then the Bengals just automatically win, because it would come down to percentages, so the Bengals will just get the division. So then next week game doesn't matter. So next week, the importance of Sunday's game is still kind of up in the air.
Right.
Should we be irritated that Lamar still isn't practicing here on Wednesday, leading into a Sunday 1 o'clock game?
Yeah.
Or do we just not care until it's playoffs?
Well, it's been so interesting to watch kind of the Orioles, the Ravens season, because there's been so much focus on Roman as the offense coordinator and Harbaugh as the coach, and kind of should they go, should they stay. And the whole time I'm like, you guys are missing it. You guys are missing it. It doesn't matter who your offense coordinator is. It doesn't, like, this whole entire season is about Lamar Jackson.
It is.
And that's the story. There's no other story.
And
here.
Don't,
it's Lamar Jackson is the story.
And don't get upset about, I don't understand why Huntley got the Pro Bowl vote, but I don't care. It's fourth string of a Pro Bowl. Who cares? But I'm not mad at Huntley for his poor performance, because he's got no one to throw the ball to.
But that was true with Lamar too.
But but Lamar at least had Lamar. And why do you think Lamar's passing numbers were down?
Well,
Lamar won games on his own.
Yeah, and that's part of my point is, I think this is not talked about enough. Yes, I think DaCosta deserves some criticism for not building a better offense around him. But also, if you take the top receiver off any team, you take Diggs off the Bills. If you take the top receiver off any football team, you're going to be worse, right? Your offense will be worse. Bateman is our best receiver. And I think we forget that because he's been gone pretty much the entire season. But that's a blow that hurts.
Right.
When you lose your starting quarterback, listen, people want to criticize Harbaugh and Roman. You can criticize them all you want. No team in the NFL is built to win with a backup quarterback. No team is built to win like that.
No.
If you don't have Lamar Jackson in there, I don't care who your coach is, you're not going to win very, 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 very many games. So to go back to your question, who is at fault here and should Lamar be playing? Listen, if Lamar doesn't feel like talking about him, if he needs to wear a brace on his knee or if he doesn't feel 100%, I mean, the contract matters, right? Like
it does.
He has nothing guaranteed after this year. Nothing. And so if he gets hurt, like, that's his future, right? And he's on the verge, Josh, of $200 million. And so if I'm
Yeah,
go ahead.
But it's also, he went into this. He had money thrown at him, and he decided to bet on himself. And since he bet on himself, that price has gone down.
You think so?
He does not get... Yeah, he missed 5 games last season, and he's missed 5 games so far this season.
Okay. You don't, because I saw a lot of people saying...
Why would his money go up?
Because of what the offense looks like without him.
The offense has no wide receivers.
Josh, there were whispers last year. You may have ignored them, or you may have been starting them. I think more likely you were starting the whispers that Huntley was just as good as Lamar Jackson. We've seen this
season... No, we know that's not the fact.
We've seen this season that Huntley can't hold a candle to Lamar Jackson.
Yes,
if Lamar Jackson leaves and we go with Huntley next year, we're winning 5 games, maybe.
Right. But Lamar wants to be the highest paid quarterback in football. You don't pay that much for a guy that can only play 2/3 of your games every season.
Right. But maybe because one of the reasons he's playing 2/3 is because he doesn't have guaranteed contract. And once he gets that guaranteed contract, it might be more likely to play.
He played 2/3. No, he played 2/3 last year.
Maybe, Josh.
Show me a big name quarterback that plays only 12 games a year.
Well,
it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
if you're going to be, if you play those 12 games, if you're only playing 12 games, that means that you have a harder chance to make the playoffs. I mean, 12 games is not, you're not paying that quarterback for 12 games. You're paying them for the entire season.
No, I agree. And to me, too, injuries, when you're kind of a running quarterback, also kind of matter more, not because you're more likely to get them, though you might be more likely to get them.
All of Lamar's injuries both took place when he was in the pocket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what I'm
none of his injuries are from running.
But what I'm saying is he hurt his knee. And I'm saying is you get banged up, that limits your ability to run, right? If you tweaked your knee, maybe if you're a pocket quarterback, you can still play and it doesn't bother you as much. But if your whole game plan is to run half the time and you can't do that, that's an element in your game that hurts you.
No, and I get what you're saying. Right. Sure it does. And I get what you're saying about Lamar protecting himself.
$250 million.
But you're the leader. But you're the leader of the team, and you're just going to sit back and be like, hey, the team locked up the playoffs, so I'm just going to sit here, and when the playoffs come, I'll play, and that way I can be like this playoff star. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, the other thing with
it's like if Adley Rushman said, "Oh, I'm only going to play on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays."
It's hard to imagine Adley saying that.
Well, exactly. You want the leader of your club team who wants to sit back and be like, "I'm only 97%, so I'm not going to play."
So what are you saying, Josh? Are you done with Lamar? Are you rolling with Huntley?
No, I'm saying Lamar's price tag has gone down. Huh. And I think if Lamar still expects those same numbers.
Maybe from the Ravens, but some team out there will pay him.
I don't know if they'll pay him those numbers. And I don't know if you're the Ravens, if you – I don't know what the draft class looks like this year and stuff. But maybe you consider, hey, our defense got us into this playoff position. Not Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, well, there's also...
So there's also the balance of how far could we get with this defense, Huntley, and a good wide receiver. Well, I'd love to see Lamar with a good wide receiver.
Yeah, I would too.
We've never... I wanted to see Joe Flacco with a good wide receiver. We've never seen that. All the good quarterbacks have a number one. We've never had a number one in Baltimore.
Yeah, I would say the only... I mean, Tua got great when Tyreek Hill got there. Josh Allen got great when Stephon Diggs got there. The Bengals just have a long list of great receivers. I'll take any of their guys as number one.
Even look at – I'm down here in Jacksonville. Look at Jacksonville. Yeah. They don't have a number one, but they got like four number twos.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got guys that are catching the ball all over the place. We don't have any of that.
We have a DeMarcus Robinson who would be
– And likely.
Yeah. To the baseball analogy –
We got Ryan Flaherty.
DeMarcus Robinson is our ace wide receiver. On any other team, he would be maybe the sixth man in the rotation. Yeah.
Exactly. What I think happens to Lamar is I don't think his price tag his price tag does not go down for next year. Next year, they franchise tag him.
You think so?
And it's because I think it's the Ravens then saying, hey, we're not ready to make a long-term commitment. We're now going to see what you can do. And if you get injured 3 years in a row, that's a problem. So I think franchise tag is the easy way to go with Lamar.
It's also interesting what's happening if you look across the NFL. So this past offseason, there's a lot of quarterback movement. It seems like every offseason now, the quarterbacks play musical chairs.
Yes.
But I think the two of the biggest moves both backfired for the teams who made the moves. So, for example, Denver traded a bunch of picks to Seattle. To get Russell Wilson. That's been a disaster. Deshaun Watson was signed to the biggest contract ever and traded a bunch of picks. Deshaun Watson has been less good than they expected. One would argue that the
backup was horrible.
Is better. He's not played well.
He played the Redskins this week and looked horrible.
Yeah. Those, especially in the first half.
The Commanders. Sorry.
The Commanders. It was just a church.
You like their new logo? Or you like their new mascot?
Yeah, the pig.
The pig? Major Tutty?
Yeah, I do. But no, Deshaun Watson so far, year, and maybe it'll change, but year one, that looks like a really, really, really bad contract. So you also wonder, do teams have – are teams looking at the Russell Wilson deal, looking at Deshaun Watson, saying, well, maybe we shouldn't go all in one of these quarterbacks because it could backfire? Does that hurt Lamar Jackson's trade value? Because you're right, the Ravens have to make a decision. There's three options. You can franchise him, you can extend him, or you can trade him. If you do franchise him, Josh, and he has another game where he has another year like this, where he misses a bunch of games in the season.
Oh, no. If he misses a bunch, you don't pay him. You don't give him that long-term deal.
You don't. But then what do? You just let him walk? Do you franchise him again and trade him? If that's the case, his stock has gone way down.
Right, right. It all depends.
So maybe you're better off trading him this offseason especially if you feel like you're a couple pieces away.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that would be perfectly happy to have Lamar for 10, 12 weeks a year. Not a team that plans to win the Super Bowl.
Right, but when you trade for Lamar, you assume he'll be there for 17 games. And if you're another team, I mean, here's the pitch. Well, imagine my team with actual good receivers. Because there's a lot of teams out there who have bad quarterbacks, but good receivers.
No, the pitch is, I'll give Lamar receivers. And the pitch is, well, Lamar's gotten hurt 3 years in a row. He can't be every year.
Right.
The pitch is he's just had bad luck.
But can you imagine?
But if you're the Ravens, I don't think you can gamble after 3 years of that.
Yeah. No.
So it gets really tricky.
If I'm Las Vegas, and you tell me I can have a Lamar Jackson, Davante Adams situation going on, like I'm salivating at that. I think I can turn that into a Super Bowl. I think I can turn that into magic.
Right.
Because the Ravens had a Davante Adams for him to throw to.
Right. And Lamar is 45-16 in his career.
Yep. And what's happening?
And we've seen Ravens are 25 points per game with Lamar and 12 points per game with Huntley.
12 points with Huntley. That's embarrassing,
yeah.
Josh.
Yeah, it is. Of course, it's embarrassing.
And that's what the good running game. Makes you,
right, that's what the good running game.
That's crazy.
But you have to question, like, what's the point of having 25 points a game if when the season gets deep and you get into it, he's not available? That's where it gets tricky.
Well, it gets, again.
What's the point of having a star quarterback that can get you to the playoffs, but then he's too hurt to play?
Well, because he's better than Tyler Huntley.
But if he gets you to the playoffs and then Huntley has to play in the playoffs, you're never going to get to the Super Bowl. You need a guy that's healthy.
Yeah, but
Lamar
will play in the playoffs.
Don't tell me Lamar got hurt because he's a running quarterback, because both injuries this year and last year were in the pocket.
Yeah, no one's saying that. Maybe should run more so you get less hurt.
I don't know. Or better line, or maybe a wide receiver that could get open so he could throw the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. But listen, that costs money. Yes. The Ravens don't – I don't know how it works with the cap. Jason Lockenfora says they're just cheap. Other people say it's because of the cap. I don't know what is true, but their unwillingness, but they're not going to draft and develop it. They're not going to draft and develop a wide receiver. Get out of here with that nonsense. So they're going to need to sign.
No, they've tried it. It doesn't work.
But other teams, I mean, we saw this offseason, the Eagles do it and had a lot of success trading Brown from the Titans. Other teams, and before that, we had the Diggs and then the Adams. This happens all the time where big name receivers are traded. The Ravens have been stingy, though, with their draft picks and unwilling. But I think the only way to make this work with Lamar Jackson is you get Lamar Jackson, you get him Andrews, you get him Dobbins, and you get him a legit number one wide receiver. And then you roll the dice. And maybe he gets hurt again, but maybe he doesn't. And if he doesn't, you could have something special. So that's the tough question that DeBisciotti and DaCosta and Harbaugh have to answer. Like, can we make this thing work with Lamar? Can we get a full season out of him? Can we build a team around him? Or is Lamar going to be so expensive and the risk is so great with him getting hurt and missing games that it's just not worth it, and we're better off getting some first-round picks, dealing him now, and then rebuilding and finding a different quarterback?
Yeah. It's a lot of questions that they're going to have to deal with, and I think they'll franchise tag him and put off those questions till next year.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know. But anyone who talks about Harbaugh and Roman just irks me, because they're missing, like, this conversation is the stories of the Ravens this year and this offseason. There's no other stories. I don't care who the coach is next year. It doesn't matter.
No.
Lamar Jackson's the story. Where this team goes will be depending on what we decide to do with Lamar Jackson.
Right.
And what Lamar Jackson decides to do with us, right? It's a two-way street there.
Next year. Well, I mean, once we can stop franchising.
Well, even this year, is he going to come back?
Well, if we tag him.
I'm saying during
the postseason.
Even this is a story. I mean, John Harbaugh. His press conference today was he doesn't even want to talk about it.
Awkward. Yeah,
he says, "I'm going to get my players ready. I don't want to talk about Lamar. I don't want to talk about the injury."
Right.
Because he doesn't know.
It's because Does he not know because of the state of the injury, or does he not know because it's all on Lamar?
Because it's on Lamar. Because Lamar will tell him when he's going to
Because for a month now, we've been saying it's day to day. And Lamar hasn't played for over a month.
Right. He was supposed to play 3 weeks. And then 4 weeks. And then I heard a bunch of stuff like, well, this is the usual recovery is 4 weeks. And then 4 weeks go by and he's still not practicing.
There's lots of Lamar apologists out there. They'll say, oh, no, this is normal.
Well, it's tough because Lamar is so likable. But he's also kind of quirky and different and does,
right.
You know, his behavior on Twitter you mentioned is kind of odd. And his interview is so, his interviews are so just kind of different.
He doesn't
just have a different vibe. And it's hard to pick up on how he's thinking. I think he views things maybe differently than a lot of us do.
I think he views more of what's good for Lamar, not what's good for the Ravens. I don't think he's a great, from the outside looking on, I've never met the guy, but he doesn't come across as a team leader to me.
But the weird part of that is, if you watch him just on the field, forget all the off the field stuff. On the field, it seems like all his teammates love him. He seems like he's a natural leader. It seems like everyone rallies around him.
On the field.
On the field.
Yes.
It seems like people love playing with him. People are kind of awed by him on the field. It seems like kind of what you're talking about off the field may be true, but on the field, it's completely different.
Right. And it, yeah.
He's high-fiving everybody, even opponents. Like, he gets along well with everybody, swapping jerseys. It's not like it's not like a Carson Wentz situation or Russell Wilson where no one likes this guy.
Right. I don't know. And maybe it's because when he's on the field, he's a video game character. It's a cartoon out there you're watching.
Yeah, people are just kind of all
it's nothing you've seen anything like this. Exactly.
And he's cool, Josh. He's cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Sunglasses and a hat on the sideline.
And
for a night game.
Yeah, that was cool, I guess.
It's cool. I don't know how he saw anything through those glasses. But
I'm doing it now, too. Yeah. That's how I dressed when I watched the game. I saw him do it. I said, I want to do that.
Sunglasses? Yeah.
So. All right. That's some good Ravens talk.
Yeah.
All right.
So Ravens play on Sunday at 1.
And I don't want to get into the whole playoff things because I'm confused from the seedings and who will play, where we'll play.
Well, because the Bengals-Bills game and all that, it's all mixed up. We don't really know.
But do you have...
I know that.
Assuming Lamar Jackson plays in the playoffs, maybe not this week, but plays in the playoffs. Josh, how confident are you that the Ravens can win a game? Do you think they have a run in them because we have a good defense, because we have a good running game? You throw Lamar Jackson back there?
I believe that the way it shakes up, we'll have to either play the Bengals or the Jaguars early on. And we did not have good luck in Jacksonville earlier in the season. So it's, but I do like that Dobbins is back. I think you get Dobbins, Lamar. The Ravens always have a chance no matter who they're playing.
Yeah.
So I think the Ravens make it at least one round.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine us competing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Meeting with the Bills and the Chiefs. But... who knows?
We've seen no flashes this year that we can compete with those guys.
Yeah. But you get in the dance and then you shake it up. This, I mean, if we make a run, this conversation will be very different in a month if we make a run.
Yeah.
But
no, and plus we got a month with our quarterback having a month off to rest.
Yeah, that's right. But a end of the playoff and exit first round of the playoffs is not going to sit well with anybody, including your boy Steve Bisciotti. That won't sit well.
Right. Can we get some deer antler spray over to Lamar?
Yeah. Talk to Ray. Let's get that straightened out. All right. That's been our Ravens talk.
All right. Hey, well, this is a good time then to talk about our sponsor, DraftKings.
Oh, please.
The wait is over. DraftKings Sportsbook is one of America's top rated sportsbook app, and it's officially live in Maryland. Now you can legally bet on all your favorite sports at DraftKings. Anytime, anywhere, right here in Maryland. For a limited time, new customers who sign up using the promo code Section 336 will receive $200 in free bets instantly. I know, Matt, this week is a weird week to bet on any sports or in any NFL games because it's all week 17 weirdness, so I don't even think we should break down a game at this point. But what I am going to do on Sunday is the DraftKings same-game parlays and player props. They got all types of cool stuff in there like that, plus fast, easy playouts, payouts right at your fingertips. DraftKings Sportsbook is the place to go. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code section 336 to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on anything. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with the promo code section 336. Please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus, physically present in Maryland. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus issued as free bets. See DraftKings.com/MD for full terms and conditions.
Well read. I'll give I'll give a DraftKings bet tip here.
You got a bet tip?
Sure. This is not this is not football. This is basketball.
Oh, see, I didn't. I've been so focused on football. You can bet basketball, baseball. I cannot wait until baseball season to bet on DraftKings.
Well, the Wizards, Bradley Beal, he re-hurt his hamstring, dealing with a hamstring issue. The Wizards are now full-on tank mode. So just bet against the Wizards and you'll be okay, because they were playing okay to start the season. Couple injuries going, but like they should be, if not, be full-on tank mode. So if you bet against the Wizards, I think that I would go with that as far as for right now. Because they're, I think they're at the point where they're going to start trying to lose games.
So fade the Wizards?
Yeah, fade the Wizards. Thank you.
I think that's the bet term, right?
Yeah. So. There's this new guy, Josh, in the NBA on the next draft, Victor Wembanyama. Have you heard about this guy?
Okay.
Victor Wembanyama?
I don't keep up with the NBA.
Okay. They're saying Victor Wembanyama could be the next greatest player in the NBA. So a lot of people are calling for them to tank. I think he plays in France. He's like 7 foot and can shoot threes. He's supposed to be incredible. A phenom. So I hope the Wizards don't win another game all year, so they have a chance at drafting Victor Wembanyama. So that's our, that's my
Victor
NBA talk.
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama, Josh, get it right.
Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Wembanyama.
Yeah. And then we're going to, we'll turn into a Wizards
That's a fun podcast jersey.
Just so you can say his name over and over again.
Wembanyama. All right. Yeah. No problem. All right. Let's talk Orioles though, because Orioles is our main focus here. Baseball is what we do.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's been a pretty quiet week.
Yeah. I think the biggest move was, or the only move, they traded for Ryan O'Hearn. From the Kansas City Royals, again, cash considerations. He's a left-handed.
So Mike Elias got his man, you said, about this?
Yes, because the Orioles were looking for, or Elias was supposedly looking for, to start the offseason, a left-handed bat that can play first base in the corner outfield. That's O'Hearn. He plays first base, corner outfield. He's left-handed. So Elias got his man. Now, if you thought Elias was also looking for a baseball player that was left-handed, could play first base, outfield, and actually be good at baseball, then he didn't get his man. But if he was just looking for a guy who could hit left-handed and play first base in the outfield, then Elias did get his man. So that's how I feel about that. People will cite O'Hearn's good year in 2018, where he batted .262, by far his best batting average. I would come back to you that in 2018, he played 44 games. So, fine. Cribb's best year was the year he played 44 games. In his career, he's batting .219. He's supposed to be kind of be a power guy. He's hit 38 home runs over the course of five seasons, kind of playing sporadically. He's played in every season since 2018, but, you know, his game totals range from 42 to the most games he's ever played is 105. So kind of a platoon type guy he's been treated as. I got to imagine for the Orioles, he's strictly a depth piece. His career WAR is -2.8. Last year, he had a -0.5 WAR. So there's nothing good in his stats. Nothing.
No, it's like it's just another body to stop us from bringing the prospects up too fast.
Yeah. Now, if we want to continue this argument we've been having that Mike Elias' whole strategy this offseason is just to slightly improve upon kind of certain positions, slightly improve upon, right. With Gibson at the fifth starter, slightly improve upon Odor with Frazier, slightly improve upon the catcher situation with McCann. I guess you could argue this is a slight improvement over Tyler Nevin as your backup, or Jesus Aguilar as your backup first baseman. So yeah, fine. He's better probably than Aguilar and Nevin, but not by much.
No, and you might as well have just signed Trey Mancini at this point, because at least then the fan base would have gotten behind it.
Hey, I was thinking about that, Josh. What about the reason you don't sign Trey Mancini is because he plays first base and he's right-handed. But, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about, oh, maybe the Orioles should trade Santander or Mullins or Hayes or Mateo. I've never heard a single rumor that we should trade Ryan Mountcastle. But, Josh, what would be the harm? A lot of people like Ryan Mountcastle, his age, his power. But he's not necessarily a Mike Elias guy. He doesn't walk a lot. No. He strikes out too much. He doesn't put the ball in play enough. So what if we, made a good trade with Ryan Mountcastle, part of a package for starting pitcher, and then signed Trey Mancini to be that right-handed hitter first baseman?
I think it's because we still think of Mountcastle as he hasn't hit his peak yet. That he came in hot, and then he kind of had a down year last year. So I think it's kind of wanting to see if his third season he bounces back after that sophomore slump. I think trading Mountcastle right now would be, hopefully, is trading low on Mountcastle. I think it's really interesting how crowded our infield is right now, where it was crowded right at the end of the season, and now we keep bringing in infielders, and it's still crowded. And you're right. There's rumors of trading Santander. There's guys projecting that, like, Hayes might not fit into this team in a few years. But you're not here in Mountcastle. You're seeing Mountcastle kind of listed as part of this team in the future.
Yeah, and part of it is because we don't have a lot of first baseman prospects. Now, maybe a guy like Kobe Mayo ends up at first base, but we don't see a lot of first base prospects. But another guy, kind of switching gears here, that could be playing first base for the Orioles this year some, is James McCann.
Yeah, that was quite the quote.
What quote are you referring to here, Josh? I really have no idea what quote you're referring to. I read the quote.
He said,
what quote are you referring to?
No, that he said that when the trade happened, that he was told that him and Adley could be playing a lot of first base this year.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting when you think about a guy like Mountcastle is there. You think about Adley. And I guess maybe that came from McCann, like people asking McCann, hey, how are you going to play 160 games or whatever they told you, 80 games? So, and I guess that's where his way is like saying he's excited to play first base and make it not like he's just Adley's backup.
Yeah. Now, I think it was, if you look at all the quotes, it's pretty clear he understands his role. There's quotes about him talking about, here's his quote about the games played. He said, quote, I can't control how many games I play, how many games I don't play. All I can control is the kind of teammate I am and what I do when my name is called. I'll be prepared for whatever comes my way. And again, I'm looking forward to meeting Adley and hopefully helping him continue to develop. That sounds like a guy, Josh, that kind of knows his role.
I agree. And that was, he said, part of my role, whether it was Baltimore or New York or wherever, is sharing my expertise, sharing what I've learned in my career. And I'm a firm believer that that's the job of a veteran player, to share with young players a little bit of information in their development. He then went on and talked about his experience catching Cy Young winners and stuff and passing that on. So all that's positive for him sitting next to Adley in the dugout. They should have assigned seats next to each other.
Yeah. And the other takeaway for me from that whole interview was that he contacted other players around the league, not necessarily Orioles, but he contacted other teams that play against the Orioles to kind of ask for their impressions of the Orioles.
No, he said guys have called out to him, reached out to him.
Yeah.
Congratulating him to talk about how talented the Orioles are.
Yeah. And so it seemed like the Orioles were a good destination to be at because of the talent on their roster. And that might be, but that's not something a lot of past teams could say, that other players are impressed by the talent on this roster.
And that was specifically about our pitching rotation and the guys that he would be catching. But it's still not something you hear ever for the, about praising the Orioles. And that's one of those peer praise things where it's like, Tim Kirchen and Buster Olney aren't going to talk about how great the Orioles bullpen is. But inside baseball, the players know, hey, I really don't like to go up against Batista.
Yeah.
We got to score on the Orioles early because we don't want to get to that bullpen.
Yeah, it's
and that's
true.
Good. That's all. I mean, it's all good things to hear.
Yeah, it's true. And I know, was it MLB? Are they releasing someone? Who's doing this top 100 players where I saw both Gunnar Henderson made the list and Adley Rutschman was like top 25 player in baseball right now, which I thought that was pretty cool. Have you been seeing those lists? I don't even know who puts them out. If it's MLB or ESPN.
MLB normally does like a top 100 right now, but I think they normally don't do that until March.
Okay.
So I haven't seen that. I've seen a lot of predictions. I've seen a lot of Gunnar Henderson Rookie of the Year predictions going around.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. It's MLB Nerds is putting it out, and they had Gunnar Henderson at 37, which is pretty cool to see. I think everyone knows that Adley is going to be one of the top guys, but to see Gunnar Henderson as number 27 is a pretty cool deal. And yeah, and Adley was number 25, and that's MLB Nerds for what it's worth.
Yeah, well, if we're talking about other websites and what they're talking about, did you see Bleacher Report give their, what was the story called? Predicting the 12 biggest MLB storylines of 2023.
No.
And it's a lot of stuff that's not surprising, but you scroll down about halfway through the article, and here's the prediction. The Orioles keep rising, and they win the AL East.
Oh, wow.
So Bleacher Report's been listening
to us. They're going with our bold predictions.
Yeah, they said a lot about this prediction doesn't make sense when you look at the Yankees and Blue Jays and Tampa Bay Rays. But the Orioles have had a quiet offseason, and they point out Adley, Gunnar, Felix Bautista. They point out Grayson Rodriguez. They point out that they think we'll have Colton Cowser up this year. So they're predicting 95-plus wins and the franchise's first division title since 2014.
Yeah, stuff like that makes me nervous because I think you're asking a whole lot of guys who've never proven it, in a short kind of stint like Gunnar. I think it's asking a lot. It's setting expectations up. Like the Gunnar expectations this year, everyone's already pronounced him as the Rookie of the Year before he's played a game. All that makes me nervous.
No, but yeah. But hey, a Rookie of the Year Gunnar, a All-Star Grayson Rodriguez, and a Adley being Adley. Okay, I can get on board with 95 wins.
Yeah, combined with what we
but
did last
year. But you're asking, you're asking these young kids to carry this team to the playoffs.
Right.
If this is the case, it'll be fun. It's what we've been calling for years, and we just always thought we'd have a veteran here to help us out. But that's all right.
Yeah. It's certainly gonna be entertaining to watch. And
this article points a lot to the fact that the Orioles went 67-54. Once Adley came up.
Right. Yeah. So you just take that, assume that's how good the Orioles are.
Yeah.
And then combine it with Adley. Combine it with Gunnar for a full year and Grayson now for a full year.
And you adjust our schedule.
Yeah. Though the argument against that is I talked about last
sophomore
week.
Sophomore slump.
One sophomore slump with the prospects. But can you count on the pitching to do what it did last year? I pointed out last time, quality starts, one of the worst teams in baseball. Can we count on guys like Austin? Like, this is who we're counting on. That Kramer will pitch like he did last year. That Austin Voth will be good. That Tyler Wells can contribute. We're counting on a lot of pitchers that can DL Hall kind of be good. It's just, yeah. I mean, last year I think a lot of players outperformed kind of their careers. Like they had kind of outliers and. Can they build? Is that just great coaching? The Orioles know how to coach pitchers, and they continue to do that, or was that a great year? And maybe some of these guys are going to take a step back,
especially on the pitching side.
Yep,
the pitching side. There's like, can the bullpen hold that up?
Yeah,
we don't even know. Is DL Hall in the rotation or in the bullpen? Yeah, can Bautista put up the type of numbers he put up this year?
He went from being a relative unknown in the minors to being one of the best closers in baseball. I think he can do it again next year, but there's no guarantees. He doesn't have a long track record of this.
Correct. He's got no track record. let's be honest. The other talk this week was that Mike Elias wanted to sign and was going after Eric Hosmer.
Yeah.
But then it came out today that he has a deal with the Cubs. Did that even, did Hosmer to the Orioles ever even make sense to you?
Did Hosmer to the Orioles? No, it didn't make sense to me. I was, I mean, it makes sense in the, well, on the sense that he is what O'Hearn is. He's a left-handed first baseman.
It makes sense on your plan of trade Ryan Mountcastle.
Well,
it makes sense there.
Yeah. I mean, if you just look at, very simply, to be honest, actually does make a little bit of sense. I mean, I think everyone who is hating on the Hosmer deal, and I didn't really want to go out and sign Hosmer, but O'Hearn is just kind of a worse version of Eric Hosmer. Would I rather have O'Hearn or Hosmer? Probably Hosmer. I mean, just better offensive numbers. He's not, certainly not what he once was, but he's better than a 212 career hit or whatever it is O'Hearn is. Now, maybe there's an expectation when you go Hosmer that he's going to play in the majors this year. And maybe O'Hearn, you feel like you can move him up and down and he's more of a depth piece in the minors. But I think people are quick to poo-poo guys until you start talking about, who will be in that position if Hosmer's not? It's very easy to say, I don't want Hosmer. But then we start talking about, okay, if we don't have Hosmer, it's not like you're going to get one of your prospects there. You're going to get O'Hearn there. Is that really who you want? Or you're going to get Tyler Nevin there. Is that really who you want? So I think if you look at comparisons, that conversation becomes a little more tricky than just in general saying, it's kind of like Waka. Like, I really don't want Waka on this team.
Right.
But then you got to say, okay, well, if Waka doesn't play, who's going to be in that situation pitching?
Got it. Do you see MLB also put out their predictions, and they said the pipeline hitter of the year, so the prospect, best offensive prospect this year, they're saying comes out of the Orioles organization.
Oh, really?
Number 13 in all of baseball. No. Jackson Holliday.
Oh, okay.
They're saying Jackson Holliday steps up and has a huge year this season. We won't see him in the majors this year. The kid's 19 years old.
Yeah, no, that's someone who, I think he got a cup of tea with the Shorebirds last year. But I'm looking forward to seeing all that. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Beavers, about Fabian, and a lot of talk about Holliday. And I'm looking forward to seeing our draft class have a full year, whether it's at Delmarva or, I was going to say the Frederick Keys, but not the Frederick Keys anymore, or at the Aberdeen Ironbirds. It's going to be fun to see them have a full year there and see what they do. I think Holliday, obviously being the number one pick, is going to, or a first round pick, is going to have a ton of eyes on him. And number one pick is going to have a ton of eyes on him. So it will be fun to watch how fast he moves up the system. He'll start with the Shorebirds, I guess. But where will he end up? Will he make it to Bowie? That's something that's going to be fun to watch.
That's cool. Yeah. On The Verge recently just did a whole thing breaking down our top prospects.
Oh, nice. So let's check that out.
Checking that out.
Yeah. It's good. All right. Got anything else for the good cause?
As far as Orioles news, no. That was it.
All right. We covered it. And again, the only thing that could excite me at this point would be if we extend one of our own, or if we make a big trade. But there's no free agent signings that are going to have me text Josh, we need to do a special podcast on Thursday because the Orioles did this move.
No. If they do, we'll make the special podcast, but I'm not planning on it.
Right.
Do you think they make a big trade before spring training?
Nope. I think they wait. I think this is the team. I think this is pretty much the squad. I don't think they make a single other move. I don't. And I think we roll with it. And I think we wait till the deadline, and I think that's when the big move could happen at the deadline.
I tend to agree with you. I think they're looking at Grayson. I think opening day starter, I think the home opener might be Grayson Rodriguez. I think they're the home opener.
Okay, yeah, that's very possible.
Yeah, because I think you don't want him as the.
I don't think he's starting your number one opening day in Boston.
No, so we have three games in Boston. I think you might line him up to be number four. I mean, we don't want another Bruce Zimmerman situation to get the pitch opening day.
Yeah, that's an interesting decision. I mean, they could go with Kyle Gibson, but maybe Kyle Gibson, you want him to pitch in Boston. Right. Yeah, it's going to be.
Could you imagine the hype of Grayson Rodriguez home opener?
Oh yeah, it'd be awesome.
It'd be pretty awesome.
It'd be awesome.
So I think the Orioles have enough options right now for the rotation. They might sign it. I think they'll sign another veteran arm.
Okay.
Low level guy, but I think I don't think we make any trades. I think this is it, and let's start getting ready for the 2023 Orioles.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I'm at peace with it. I'm at peace. It's going to be a fun year. Not the offseason that I was kind of expecting, but I'm okay. I'm at peace.
Right.
It's still going to be a fun season with the squad.
Yep. All right. A little shorter, but we should get out of here. We got some big episodes coming out the next couple weeks, though.
Yeah, some stuff we're really excited about.
Yeah.
It's going to be good stuff.
I think we're going to have guests on the next 2 weeks, and they're both like guys that we're excited to have on.
That's the way to get through guys, January. You are get really some guests like on here. Get through January.
Exactly. Exactly. Enough that I'm not going to share the names of the guests because I want to make sure they're all booked and set. Yeah. But yeah, expect guests the next 2 weeks. And I don't mean the zany one.
No, real guests. No offense, yeah. Bert.
Right, right.
Though maybe we can get him on in January too. Book him too, Josh. Yeah, if you can get him. He's a tough book.
All right. I'll try to book him. I know. He stayed at my house for a week and I still couldn't get him to talk into a microphone.
Yeah. You should have just snuck one in there when you were just talking to him.
Yeah. Really?
All right. Cool. Well, you can, of course, in the meantime, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Go to iTunes. We could use some more 5-star reviews on iTunes. Go to iTunes and write a review. Birdland Sports.
Yeah. Go check out shirts. They're everywhere now. Birdlandsports.com is where you get them directly from me, but I'm also putting my designs up on Etsy and Amazon as well now. Trying to get ready for the 2023 season and send me some new ideas because it's time for me to launch a whole bunch of shirts before the season starts.
Hey, can I ask you a question, Josh? I should probably say this for off the air, but no one listens this far in the podcast anyway. Hey, I noticed on Twitter, you know, that there's that, you know, we were kind of our acquaintances, maybe friends of the show, OBP Apparel. We've hung out with them before.
Yeah.
They had me blocked on Twitter. Is this related to Birdland Sports and why I'm blocked by them on Twitter?
You're blocked by OBP Apparel?
Yeah, I just noticed it. This week that they had me blocked on there.
I don't know. They
and I didn't know if because, you know, they make t-shirts.
I am also blocked from OBP Apparel.
Okay, I think I'm blocked because of you, Josh. That's why I think I'm blocked.
Probably so. I don't know. I know they ripped off some of my designs.
Okay.
So, and I know I sent them some design ideas and they didn't do them. And that's what motivated me to do Birdland Sports.
Okay.
So,
OBP Apparel, I really have nothing to do with Birdland Sports. So I don't know why you're
blocking me. And I want to say, go ahead and block OBP Apparel if you listen to Section 336. I don't care. I don't care that they block me. That's funny.
All right. I don't care that you don't care. And I don't care either. I mean, I've blocked my fair share of people. I have no issue with someone blocking me. I just was a little curious because we've hung out with these guys. I like these guys. And it was just kind of out of the blue. And maybe, I don't know when it happened, but I just thought about the only connection I could have made is you're doing t-shirts.
It must be.
A little competition. I'm actually inspired by that. I'm going to go now after seeing that, Josh. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to block Bird's Eye View. There, we got it. We got it. I'm going to there. They've, you know, that I should have done that a long time ago.
What's funny?
Our rivals.
What's funny is I thought I was friends with Cal still over on. I thought I saw some of his Christmas photos on Instagram. Let's see. That's weird. I'm still friends with. Yeah, I'm still friends with Cal.
I mean, I didn't even follow OBP Apparel.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's great.
Yeah.
Don't follow OBP Apparel. Get your shirts from Birdland Sports.
Don't you wish there was a list that I can see all the people I'm blocked? I wish there was a list that showed all the people who blocked me.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never blocked. I don't think I've ever blocked anyone.
No, I got a couple hundred people. So. All right, boys and girls. Well, yeah. I don't expect OBP Apparel to go and write us a review on iTunes. I hope they don't, actually, because it probably won't be a good star one. But go ahead.
They were probably that Slytherin snake guy.
Yeah, that's probably that.
That was probably OBP Apparel.
4 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah. We just plugged them like 17 times just for blocking us.
Yeah, that's true. But not in a good way.
No. In a company. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here before I say anything else. We'll save any other conversation for off the air.
All right.
You can follow me on Twitter, or you can block me on Twitter, at Section336. You can follow and block Josh on Twitter,
at Josh Soroka and at Birdland Sports.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's and go Ravens.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.